You don't need to feel ready. You need to get up and push yourself. Every day gives you the chance to win, but most people waste it waiting for the right time. That time never comes. The truth is, the people who win aren't the ones with the best luck. They're the ones who decide to move even when it's hard, even when nobody's watching. Think about it. How many days have slipped by because you stayed in comfort instead of taking action? How many times have you told yourself tomorrow, knowing deep down it should have been today? Winning starts with a simple decision. Stand up and push forward no matter how you feel. When you do that, you take back control of your life. This is about showing yourself what you're capable of, building strength one choice at a time, and refusing to let comfort run your life. Today, you'll learn exactly how to do that. Chapter 1. Stand up the moment your mind says stay down. When your mind says stay down, that's the moment that defines everything. It's easy to stand when the room is cheering for you. It's easy to move when you feel excited and full of energy. But real winners are built in the moments when every part of you wants to quit. That is where you find out if you really mean what you say about your goals. You have to understand something about the human mind. It will protect you from discomfort. It will try to keep you in a place that feels safe. And when life gets heavy, your mind will whisper reasons to stop. It will tell you you've done enough. It will convince you that maybe you can try again tomorrow. But that voice is not a friend to your growth. If you give it power once, it becomes easier to give it power again, and soon it runs your life. When you stand up the moment your mind says stay down, you break that cycle. You take back control. That single decision sends a message to yourself. I choose action over comfort. I choose progress over excuses. And that choice changes everything, because now you are no longer waiting to feel ready. You are moving because you've decided to move. I've met many people who wanted success, but they were waiting for motivation to show up. They thought they had to feel inspired before they could take action. That's the trap. Waiting to feel ready is why people waste months and even years of their life. The truth is, you don't have to feel ready to take the first step. The moment you stand up, even when you don't want to, your energy changes. Your mind starts catching up to your body's decision. Think about the last time you didn't feel like doing something important. Maybe it was getting out of bed early. Maybe it was going to the gym. Maybe it was making that difficult call. You probably sat there thinking about how hard it would be. The longer you thought, the heavier it felt. But the moment you forced yourself to stand up and start moving, it got easier. Action has a way of defeating hesitation. You have to train yourself to act quickly in those moments. When you feel resistance, shorten the time between the thought and the action. If you give yourself too much space to think, you give fear and doubt a chance to grow. So the rule is simple. The second your mind says stay down, you stand up. You don't debate it, you don't argue with yourself, you just do it. Some people tell me, Jim, I don't have the willpower you have. I tell them, willpower is built the same way you build a muscle. You start small, you practice every day, and the more you do it, the stronger it gets. Maybe for you, standing up when you want to stay down means getting out of bed without hitting the snooze button. Maybe it means staying late to finish the job instead of walking away. Every time you win those moments, you add to your strength. But here's what's important. You can't only stand up for the big things. The small moments matter just as much, because discipline doesn't care whether the situation is big or small. If you allow yourself to quit on the small things, you're training yourself to quit when it matters most. That's why the little battles are where you sharpen your edge. Standing up when you want to stay down is not just about physical movement. It's about mental resilience. Life will knock you down. People will doubt you. Some days, everything will seem to go wrong. You will feel tired, discouraged, even defeated. In those moments, you have two choices: surrender to the feeling or stand up and push forward anyway. Every time you choose the second option, you strengthen your mind. You prove to yourself that you are not defined by your mood or the situation. Winners live by this: I act because it needs to be done, not because I feel like it. If you wait for your feelings to align with your goals, you'll never make it far. Feelings change, commitment stays. And commitment is built by making decisions that match your goals, no matter how you feel in the moment. I've seen people completely transform their lives simply by applying this principle. One man told me he started standing up the second his alarm went off, no hesitation. At first, it was hard, but after a few weeks, he noticed he had more energy, more focus, and more confidence. Why? Because every morning he was proving to himself that he could control his actions, even when he didn't feel like it. That confidence spread to other areas of his life. He started pushing himself at work. He stopped procrastinating on things that mattered. He became a different person. Not because the world changed, but because he did. The truth is, you can't win if you give in every time you feel resistance. If you only work hard when you feel good, you will never reach your best. Life rewards those who act when it's hard. The real battle is not with the outside world. It's with that part of you that wants the easy way out. Beat that part, and you will win more than you ever imagined. When you face a moment of resistance, think about the outcome. Picture yourself an hour from now. Will you feel proud that you stood up and acted, or will you feel the disappointment of giving in again? That picture can be a powerful motivator. Most of the time, the regret of quitting feels much worse than the discomfort of pushing through. It's also important to remind yourself why you're doing this. Standing up when your mind says stay down is not about being perfect. It's about staying consistent with the person you want to become. If your goal is to be disciplined, strong, and successful, then your daily actions have to match that goal. Every time you stand up in the face of resistance, you are living in alignment with that vision. And here's the best part. The more you do this, the easier it becomes. At first, it's a battle every time. You'll feel the urge to stay down and the temptation to delay. But after weeks and months of choosing action, you will notice something. Your default response changes. Instead of debating with yourself, you'll start moving automatically. That's when discipline becomes a habit. That's when you've rewired your mind to follow through without waiting for perfect conditions. So, how do you apply this today? Start with one decision. When you feel resistance, whether it's getting out of bed, starting a project, or having a tough conversation, act immediately. Don't think, don't wait, just stand up and do it. Then, keep doing it again and again until it becomes part of who you are. If you want to win in life, this is where it starts. Not in the easy moments, but in the ones where you want to quit. Not when you feel good, but when you feel drained. The ability to stand up in those moments is what separates the people who talk about success from the people who actually achieve it. So the next time your mind says stay down, remember what's at stake. Your future is shaped by how you handle those moments. Stand up, push yourself, take the step. Because every time you do, you're not just winning the moment, you're building the strength to win the rest of your life. Chapter 2. Break your own limits before the day even starts. When you wake up in the morning, you are given a chance to set the tone for the entire day. Most people start slow. They drag themselves into the day, letting the hours unfold before they decide how much they are willing to give. But if you want to live at a higher standard, you cannot wait for the day to decide for you. You must break your own limits before the day even begins. That means proving to yourself right from the start that you will not settle for the bare minimum. Limits are not always about physical ability. Most of the time, they live in your mind. They appear as the voice that says, "That's enough," long before you've reached your actual capacity. They show up as routines that are comfortable but never challenge you. They convince you that small efforts are acceptable because you've done enough to get by. The problem is, if you begin your day with that thinking, you carry it into everything else you do. Breaking your limits early creates a momentum that changes how you approach the next 12 or 16 hours. If you start by doing something you didn't think you could do, whether it's waking up earlier than usual, training harder, working faster, or tackling something most people would delay, you have already set yourself apart. You've told yourself, "I'm here to win today, not just to get through it." That single choice can shape your entire performance. The danger of starting slow is that your mind accepts mediocrity as the day's standard. If your first actions are lazy or half-hearted, the rest of the day often follows the same pattern. You might still get things done, but you won't touch your true potential. But when your first actions break through a personal barrier, the opposite happens. You start thinking bigger, you start pushing harder, and you carry that standard into every part of the day. One of the most effective ways to break limits early is to attack something challenging as soon as you wake up. That might mean doing a workout before sunrise, when your body is still stiff and your mind is telling you to take it easy. It could mean working on a skill or a project before your regular schedule begins, giving it your full focus when most people are still trying to wake up. The point is to start with something that stretches you. That early effort sets the bar high. You also have to understand that breaking limits is not about comparing yourself to anyone else. It's about going beyond what you have done before. Your limit today might not be the same as it was last week, and it certainly won't be the same as it will be 6 months from now if you keep challenging yourself. What matters is raising the bar, even slightly, every single day. If yesterday you woke up at 6:30, maybe today you start at 6 o'clock. If you ran 3 miles yesterday, maybe today you run 4. The key is to do something that forces you to step into discomfort before the world has a chance to influence you. When you take this approach, something powerful happens over time. You start building a habit of courage. You begin trusting yourself more because you see proof day after day that you can do things you once thought were out of reach. That trust is important because it fuels your ability to take on bigger challenges later in the day and in life. This is not about recklessly exhausting yourself. It's about setting a tone of strength and self-respect. You are showing yourself that you are not the kind of person who waits for the right conditions. You create the right conditions by taking control from the first moment you are awake. That kind of mental discipline carries over into everything else: work, relationships, health, and personal goals. A lot of people underestimate the value of the morning because they think it's just a warm-up for the rest of the day. They treat it like a period of preparation before the real work starts. But if you think that way, you miss the chance to take advantage of the mind's openness when the day is new. In those first hours, your focus is not yet scattered. You can decide exactly where to place your attention and energy. And when you use that time to push past a limit, it sets a psychological anchor for the rest of the day. You've already done something difficult, so now you feel more capable of doing more. You might ask yourself, "What limit should I break first?" The answer depends on your life right now. For some, it might be physical effort, running farther, lifting more, moving faster. For others, it might be mental focus, reading for an hour without distraction, writing down a detailed plan for the day, learning something new before breakfast. And for others, it might be discipline, resisting the urge to check their phone, starting work without delay, or finishing a task completely before moving on. Whatever it is, the limit is personal, but the principle is the same. Go beyond what you think you can do before the day fully begins. Here's something else to consider. When you break limits early, you create a win that nobody can take from you. So this is, even if the rest of the day falls apart, you can still look back and say, I started strong. I proved something to myself. That is a source of confidence that can carry you through setbacks and challenges later in the day. It gives you a mental advantage, and in life, that edge often makes the difference. Breaking limits early also forces you to face the truth about yourself. You can't hide from your effort level when you're the only one watching. It's just you and the challenge in front of you. And when you choose to give more in that moment, you see clearly what you're capable of. That awareness builds a quiet kind of pride, not arrogance, but the satisfaction of knowing you followed through. It's important to remember that limits are not broken in comfort. If the first hour of your day feels easy, you're probably not breaking anything. There should be a moment of resistance, a part of you that wants to slow down or stop. That's the sign you're in the right territory. That's the space where growth happens. If you can push past that point, even by a little, you've already done something most people will avoid. There's also a practical reason to do this before the day starts. Fewer distractions. The earlier you challenge yourself, the less chance the outside world has to interfere. You don't have to fight for time or space. You take it before anyone can give it to you. That sense of ownership over your time is empowering. It reminds you that your life is in your control, not in the hands of other people's schedules. Breaking your own limits before the day begins is not a single act. It's a habit that builds on itself. The first few days might feel like a battle. You'll have to fight the urge to do just enough. But over time, it becomes who you are. You start to crave that feeling of doing something most people won't do. You start to need that sense of accomplishment before the rest of the world has even started. And once you reach that point, you are living with an advantage that can carry you to levels of success you never imagined. So tomorrow, when you wake up, don't ask yourself if you feel ready. Don't wait for motivation to show up. Decide now what limit you are going to break and commit to doing it before anything else. Maybe it's an earlier start. Maybe it's a harder workout. Maybe it's a focused work session before the rest of your responsibilities take over. Whatever it is, do it without hesitation. That single act can change the way you approach the entire day, and over time it can change the way you approach your life. Every morning gives you a choice. You can begin at the same level you always have, or you can prove to yourself that you can go further. One choice keeps you where you are. The other choice moves you forward. And the sooner you choose to break your own limits, the sooner you will see how much more is possible. Chapter 3. Refuse to stop until the job feels complete. There's a difference between people who achieve average results and people who achieve exceptional results. That difference is often not about talent, resources, or even opportunity. It's about one simple decision. The decision to keep going until the job is truly done. Too many people stop when things feel tiring, inconvenient, or uncomfortable. But if you stop when you're tired instead of when the job is complete, you never experience the true reward of seeing something through. Refusing to stop until the work is complete means you respect the commitment you made to yourself. It's easy to set a goal and start strong when motivation is high. It's much harder to finish when the excitement fades and the work turns into a grind. But that's where your character is revealed, when you keep pushing through without cutting corners, without delaying, without walking away halfway. When you stop early, You create a pattern in your mind that says, almost is good enough. That pattern spreads into everything else you do. If you allow it to happen once, it's easier to do it again the next time. Soon, quitting early becomes your default setting, even when you don't intend it. On the other hand, when you make it a personal rule to finish no matter what, you build a standard that carries into all areas of life. Finishing what you start is not just about discipline, it's about trust. Every time you complete a task you said you would, you strengthen the trust you have in yourself. You prove that your word means something, and that trust is what allows you to take on bigger challenges, because you know you'll follow through. Without that trust, you hesitate, you doubt, and you limit your own potential. There's also a practical advantage to pushing through until the job is finished. Work left unfinished weighs on your mind. You carry it into the next day, and it takes up space you could use for new opportunities. When you finish, you free yourself to focus fully on the next thing. That mental clarity alone can set you ahead of others who are stuck juggling unfinished tasks. Some people think stopping early will save them energy, but often it costs more in the long run. If you stop halfway, you'll have to restart later, and that restart always takes more effort than simply finishing when you're already in motion. This is why people spend weeks dragging out a project that could have been done in 2 focused days. They break their momentum and make the work harder than it needs to be. Refusing to stop is not about working recklessly or ignoring your limits. It's about making the decision to keep going when you still have the ability to give more. There's a difference between being at your limit and simply being uncomfortable. Most people confuse discomfort with true exhaustion, and they quit long before they reach their real capacity. Those who push past that initial wall often discover they have far more in them than they thought. One way to apply this is to remove almost from your vocabulary. When you're close to finishing, don't start thinking about how good it will feel to stop. Instead, remind yourself that the only acceptable place to stop is at the finish line. If the job was to run 5 miles, you don't stop at 4.5. If the job was to write 10 pages, you don't quit at 8. Even if it takes longer than expected, you stay until the work matches the promise you made. This mindset builds a different kind of mental toughness. You stop relying on the clock to tell you when you're done, and you start relying on the completion of the work itself. That shift is powerful because the clock can trick you into doing just enough to get by, but the work itself is the only true measure of whether you've earned the result you want. It's also important to understand that there's pride in completion, that you can't get any other way. When you know you finished something the way it was meant to be finished, you carry a confidence that can't be faked. You look at the result and know there was nothing left undone. That feeling makes you more willing to take on the next challenge because you know you're capable of following through. To live by this principle, you have to be honest with yourself. You can't say, "That's good enough," when you know you've left work on the table. You can't lower the bar halfway through just to make yourself feel comfortable. If you said you would do it, you do it. And if it takes longer, you stay longer. If it's harder than you thought, you push harder. That's how you separate yourself from the crowd. This approach also builds respect in the eyes of others. People notice when you follow through. They notice when you're the one who can be counted on to finish, no matter how tough the job gets. That kind of reputation is valuable in every area of life, from your career to your personal relationships. When you adopt the rule of finishing what you start, it changes how you plan your day. You become more careful about what you commit to, because you know you'll see it through. You don't take on things just to impress people in the moment. You take on what you know matters, because you understand the responsibility of completion. There's also a psychological benefit to completing one task before moving to the next. It creates a sense of momentum that fuels your motivation. Success feeds on success, and each completed job makes the next one easier to start and finish. On the other hand, starting many things and finishing none of them drains your motivation and makes you feel stuck. Sometimes, the biggest challenge is not the work itself, but the moments near the end when you're tempted to slow down. The mind plays tricks here. It tells you the difference between almost and finished isn't worth the effort. But that's the point where you have to push the hardest. The last steps are where you solidify your standard. They're the proof that you don't stop short, even when you could get away with it. If you want to live by this rule, you can train it in daily life. Pick small tasks and make a promise to finish them completely. Clean the room and put every item back in its place. Write the report and review it before calling it done. Exercise and complete every rep you planned. Over time, you'll get used to the feeling of closing the gap between almost and done. That habit will carry into bigger challenges. The discipline to finish is something you can control entirely. It doesn't depend on luck, timing, or talent. It's a choice you make each time you're tempted to stop early. And because it's a choice, you can decide right now that you will be the kind of person who finishes every job you start. The truth is, anyone can start. Starting is easy. It's the finishing that separates the achievers from the dreamers. And the more you practice refusing to stop until the work is complete, the more natural it becomes. Soon, you won't even think about quitting early. It simply won't be an option. You'll be too committed to the standard you've set for yourself. And when you live that way, you not only get better results, but you become the kind of person others look up to, not because you talk about hard work, but because you prove it every time by refusing to walk away until the job is done. That's how real progress is built. That's how winning becomes a habit. Chapter 4. Act when you least feel ready to begin. Most people wait for the perfect moment to take action. They wait until they feel confident, until they have more experience, until the timing feels right. But here's the truth. If you only act when you feel ready, you will miss most of your opportunities. The perfect moment rarely comes, and when it does, it often passes before you realize it. The people who move ahead in life are not the ones who wait for the ideal time. They are the ones who step forward when they feel least prepared. Acting when you don't feel ready is uncomfortable. It forces you into situations where you can't predict the outcome. You may not have all the answers, and you may worry about making mistakes. But this discomfort is exactly where growth happens. If you only operate inside your comfort zone, you will keep recycling the same results you've always had. The real progress comes when you take action in uncertainty, when you challenge yourself to face situations that stretch your limits. You will never eliminate the fear or doubt that comes before doing something new or difficult. Those feelings are part of the process. The mistake is thinking you need to get rid of them before starting. Confidence doesn't come before action. It comes after you act and see that you can handle more than you thought. You can't think your way into confidence. You have to earn it by doing. Think of a time in your life when you were hesitant to start something, but you did it anyway. Maybe it was speaking up in a meeting, making a big decision, starting a business, or taking on a new role. You probably didn't feel fully ready in that moment, but once you began, you found your way through it. You learned as you went, you made adjustments, and you gained strength you wouldn't have had if you kept waiting. This is the pattern. Every time, you grow into the role after you take it, not before. When you delay action, you give your mind space to create more reasons to avoid it. The longer you wait, the heavier the task feels. That wait often has nothing to do with the difficulty of the task and everything to do with your thoughts about it. You start imagining worst-case scenarios. You overanalyze. You tell yourself you'll be better prepared later, but later becomes never. The only way to break this cycle is to act before your mind has a chance to talk you out of it. This principle is not about recklessness, it's about decisiveness. You don't ignore preparation, but you also don't wait for preparation to be perfect. You gather what you can, and then you move. The rest you learn through action. Waiting for flawless preparation is just a way to disguise procrastination. In life, there will be moments where the gap between where you are and where you want to be feels too wide. You might tell yourself you need more skills, more resources, or more time before making a move. But if you are honest, you will realize that much of this is fear disguised as logic. If you keep waiting until you are sure of success, you'll never start anything worth doing. The bigger the goal, the less ready you will feel at the start. You have to develop the ability to step forward despite those feelings. The first step might be shaky, but each step after that gets stronger. And the sooner you take that first step, the sooner you build momentum. Momentum is one of your greatest tools. It can turn uncertainty into confidence faster than any amount of overthinking. Acting when you least feel ready teaches you resourcefulness. When you put yourself in situations that stretch you, you're forced to find solutions on the spot. You learn to adapt, to think faster, and to problem solve under pressure. These skills can't be fully developed by sitting on the sidelines. They are earned in the middle of the action. Some of the most important breakthroughs in life come when you say yes before you feel ready. That conversation you almost didn't have could open a door you never knew existed. That opportunity you almost turned down could be the start of your biggest success. The moment you feel most unprepared is often the moment that matters most. One of the keys to making this mindset work is shifting how you define readiness. Readiness is not having every detail figured out. It's being willing to move forward and handle what comes. You don't need to know everything. You need to know that you'll figure things out along the way. Once you accept that you can learn on the move, you realize that you are ready more often than you think. You also have to get comfortable with imperfect starts. Perfectionism kills momentum. If you wait for perfect, you never begin. But if you start now, even with a rough first attempt, you can improve along the way. Action creates clarity. You can adjust your approach as you go, but you can't adjust something that hasn't even begun. Sometimes the hardest part is simply breaking the inertia of doing nothing. You might spend hours or even days thinking about starting, and all that thinking drains energy. The moment you take action, even a small action, you change the energy entirely. That shift is what gets you moving, and once you're moving, it's easier to keep going. Acting before you feel ready is also a form of self-respect. It's telling yourself that you trust your ability to figure things out. It's saying, I may not have all the answers, but I believe I can find them. This belief builds resilience because it's based on your capacity to adapt, not on having a perfect plan. There will be days when you wake up feeling unmotivated, uncertain, or even overwhelmed. Those are the most important days to act. Anyone can work when they feel ready and confident. The people who grow the fastest are the ones who work when they feel uncertain, tired, or intimidated. Those moments build the strongest mindset because they prove that you can perform regardless of how you feel. If you want to live by this principle, start practicing it in small ways. Say yes to a task that scares you. Start a project before you've mapped out every detail. Speak up in a meeting, even if your voice shakes. Each time you act without feeling ready, you expand your comfort zone, and over time, situations that once felt intimidating become normal. The truth is, you will never feel ready for the most important moments in life. Big opportunities come disguised as uncomfortable challenges. If you wait until you're comfortable, they'll pass you by. But if you step forward before you feel prepared, you give yourself a chance to grow into the person who can handle them. You don't have to start with massive leaps. Sometimes acting before you feel ready is simply making the first call, sending the first email, or putting in the first rep at the gym. These small actions build the habit of moving despite uncertainty. That habit is what will carry you through bigger challenges later. Every time you act in spite of feeling unready, you're rewriting your story. You're proving that fear and doubt don't control you. You're training yourself to respond to uncertainty with action instead of hesitation. That shift can change the entire course of your life because it puts you in motion toward your goals instead of waiting for the right mood to arrive. So, the next time you catch yourself thinking, "I'm not ready," recognize it for what it is, a test. It's a chance to step forward and show yourself what you're capable of. Take the step. Make the move. Begin before you feel prepared. You might surprise yourself with how far you can go once you've started. And once you understand that readiness is not a requirement for action, you'll never wait for the perfect moment again. Chapter 5. Prove to yourself you can outlast any struggle. Life will test you in ways you never expected. It will throw challenges at you that make you question your strength, your patience, and even your purpose. Some struggles will be short and sharp. Others will stretch out for months or years. But no matter how hard they are, each one is an opportunity to prove something important to yourself, that you can endure, that you can keep moving forward, and that you can outlast anything that stands in your way. Endurance isn't built by winning quickly. It's built by holding steady when the pressure doesn't let up. Many people start strong, full of energy and determination, but their spirit fades when progress is slow or the weight feels too heavy. The ones who truly grow are those who stay in the fight long after the excitement is gone. They learn how to work without applause, how to keep going when results are still out of sight, and how to keep their focus even when the finish line feels distant. Proving to yourself that you can outlast any struggle starts with a decision. You have to decide that no matter how long it takes or how difficult it gets, you won't step back from the challenge. That decision matters, because once you commit to enduring, your mind stops looking for escape routes. You no longer waste energy wondering if you should quit. You use that energy to find ways to adapt and move forward. Struggles test more than your physical limits. They test your mental patience. Waiting for progress can be one of the hardest parts of any challenge. You might put in days, weeks, or months of effort without seeing a change. And that's when doubt creeps in. You start questioning if your effort is worth it. You wonder if the situation will ever get better. Those are the moments where you have to remind yourself that your role is not to control the timeline, but to control your effort. Your job is to keep showing up, even when there's no sign of victory yet. One of the most valuable lessons you can learn from enduring a struggle is that feelings don't define your ability to act. You might feel tired, frustrated, or even hopeless, but those feelings don't have to dictate your choices. You can still move forward even when your emotions are pulling you toward giving up. This is how you strengthen your inner discipline, by choosing action over surrender again and again until it becomes second nature. Outlasting a struggle often means breaking it down into smaller battles. If you try to carry the entire weight of the challenge in your mind at once, it can feel overwhelming. Instead, focus on the next step, the next day, the next task. Every small win you create becomes proof that you're still in the fight. Those small wins stack up over time and eventually lead you out of the struggle entirely. You also need to recognize that struggles are not just obstacles, they are training grounds. to every hard situation you endure is preparing you for something bigger ahead. The patience you develop now will help you in future situations that demand long-term focus. The strength you gain now will be the same strength you rely on later when life throws something even more difficult your way. The key to outlasting is persistence without expectation of ease. If you expect the road to be smooth, you'll be disappointed and more likely to quit when it's not. But if you accept from the start that the road will be rough, then every step you take becomes a victory. You stop being surprised by difficulty, and instead you expect it, prepare for it, and work through it. It's also important to set your standards higher than your circumstances. The struggle might try to pull you down, to make you lower your effort, but you can choose to maintain your standard no matter how hard it gets. If you've decided that you give 100% regardless of how you feel, then the struggle has no power to break your commitment. You become consistent, and consistency is one of the most powerful tools you can have in overcoming hardship. There will be times when the only progress you can see is that you're still standing. You might not feel stronger in the moment, but surviving each day of a struggle is an accomplishment. It's proof that you have more endurance than you realized. You can hold the line. You can resist giving in. That quiet resilience is what eventually leads to breakthroughs. When you're in the middle of a difficult situation, it's easy to forget that you've overcome hard things before. Remind yourself of past challenges you've faced and survived. Think about the moments you thought you couldn't go any further, but you did anyway. That memory is living proof that you can handle more than your current feelings suggest. Sometimes outlasting a struggle means changing your approach without changing your commitment. If one method isn't working, you adjust. You learn new skills. You try new strategies. You seek advice from others who have faced similar challenges. Adaptation is not quitting. It's finding a smarter way to keep moving forward. The willingness to adapt while still holding the line is what keeps you in the game until the end. The more you push through difficulties, the more your identity changes. You stop seeing yourself as someone who tries and start seeing yourself as someone who persists. That shift in identity is powerful because it changes how you respond to future challenges. You don't panic at the first sign of trouble. You've been here before, and you know you can handle it. It's important to understand that enduring is not about stubbornly suffering without purpose. It's about holding on to the vision of what you want while working through the difficulties that stand in the way. Your struggle has meaning if you are using it to get closer to something important. Keep your focus on that purpose, and it will fuel you when your energy is low. Another thing to remember is that you don't have to feel strong to be strong. Some days you'll drag yourself through the work. Some days you'll do the bare minimum just to keep going. That's still strength. Strength is not always loud and full of energy. Sometimes it's quiet, steady, and unshakable. Outlasting a struggle changes the way you view time. You realize that temporary discomfort is just that. Temporary. Even long battles eventually come to an end. If you can keep moving through the difficult stretches, you'll eventually reach the other side, and when you do, you'll carry with you the unshakable confidence of someone who knows they can survive anything. Proving to yourself that you can outlast any struggle doesn't happen in a single act. It happens in the accumulation of days where you refuse to give in. Every day you keep going. You add another piece to that proof, and once you've built enough of it, you'll never doubt your resilience again. When the next challenge comes, and it will, you'll be able to face it with the knowledge that you've been through the fire before and came out stronger. That knowledge doesn't remove the difficulty, but it removes the fear that you can't handle it. You've already shown yourself what you're capable of. You know the value of patience, of grit, of staying in the fight long after others would have walked away. If you can hold to that standard, you'll reach a point where the length or intensity of a struggle no longer scares you. You'll have proven, beyond any doubt, that you can outlast anything. And that kind of belief in yourself is a power no struggle can ever take away. Chapter 6. Move faster than the doubts trying to slow you. Doubt has a way of creeping in the moment you're about to do something important. It doesn't always show up loudly. Sometimes it's just a quiet hesitation, a small thought asking if you're really capable or if you should wait. Other times, it comes as a flood of reasons why now isn't the right time. If you give those thoughts too much space, they grow stronger and make it harder to move forward. The way to beat them is simple. Act before they have the chance to take hold. When you move faster than your doubts, you don't give them room to build their case. You break the chain of overthinking before it traps you. Action interrupts hesitation, and hesitation is where most people lose their momentum. The longer you wait, the more your mind collects arguments for staying still. The shorter the gap between your decision and your action, the less time doubt has to slow you down. Most people make the mistake of thinking they need to feel completely confident before acting. They believe the right plan, the right mood, or the right timing will erase doubt. But doubt isn't something you wait to remove. It's something you outrun. The first steps are often taken with uncertainty still in your mind. Confidence is not what makes you move. Movement is what builds your confidence. The great poet, think about the last time you acted quickly on something important. You probably didn't have every detail figured out. You just knew that if you stopped to think too long, you might talk yourself out of it. You took the step, and once you were moving, things became clearer. That's how it works. Movement changes your perspective. The problems that seemed big in your head start to shrink when you're in motion towards solving them. The reason moving quickly works so well is that doubt thrives in stillness. When you're inactive, your mind has all the time it needs to imagine what could go wrong. It replays failures, predicts mistakes, and reminds you of everything that could go against you. But once you take action, your focus shifts to the task at hand. Your energy goes into doing, not questioning. That's when progress starts replacing fear. Acting fast doesn't mean acting without thought. It means acting without unnecessary delay. You can still make smart choices while keeping your pace high. The goal is to avoid letting your mind spiral into hesitation. Planning is important, but planning can easily turn into stalling if you're not careful. There's a point where more thinking doesn't improve the outcome, it just feeds the doubt. When you train yourself to move before doubt grows, you build a new habit of decisiveness. You stop letting every decision drag on until your motivation fades. You create a rhythm of action that keeps you ahead of the mental resistance that would otherwise hold you back. That rhythm becomes a strength you can rely on, even when situations are uncertain or uncomfortable. One way to practice this is to recognize the exact moment doubt starts speaking. You'll feel it. A slight pause, a question in your mind, an urge to delay. Instead of sitting with it, you use it as your signal to move now. You decide that hesitation is your cue for action, not inaction. Over time, this flips your automatic response. Instead of freezing when you feel uncertain, you'll lean into motion. Moving quickly also has another advantage. It teaches you to adapt in real time. When you act before you have every answer, you're forced to learn as you go. This builds resourcefulness, which is far more valuable than trying to plan for every possible situation before starting. Life rarely gives you a perfect set of conditions. Those who wait for them never get anywhere. Those who start now learn how to adjust while staying in motion. Doubt will try to disguise itself as caution. It will tell you to wait until you're more ready or think about it a little longer. But you have to be able to tell the difference between healthy preparation and fear dressed as logic. The moment you realize it's fear, you move. Not tomorrow, not later, now. That's how you keep fear from growing roots in your mind. The truth is, most people fail not because they couldn't do something, but because they didn't start soon enough. They allowed hesitation to stretch into weeks, months, or years, until the opportunity was gone. Moving quickly isn't just about overcoming doubt. It's about seizing the moment while it's still there. This doesn't mean rushing into everything blindly. It means developing the instinct to act as soon as you've gathered enough to take the first step, knowing you'll figure out the rest along the way. That first step is where most people lose themselves. They wait until they have the perfect conditions, forgetting that perfection never comes. Those who are willing to act before feeling ready separate themselves from the ones who stay stuck. Another key point is that speed creates energy. The faster you start, the more momentum you build. That momentum fuels more action, and the more you act, the less room there is for doubt to take over. Doubt is weak against momentum. It can only slow you if you give it time to catch up. You have to remember that doubt isn't always eliminated permanently. It may show up every time you face something new. The difference between those who move forward and those who stay behind is not the absence of doubt, it's the decision to keep moving, regardless of it. Some of your greatest wins will happen while doubt is still in the background, simply because you didn't stop to negotiate with it. It's worth thinking about the long-term effect of moving quickly against doubt. Every time you do it, you're building a track record with yourself. You're proving that hesitation doesn't own you. You're reinforcing the belief that you can take action without overthinking. That belief becomes part of who you are. Eventually, moving without delay becomes natural, and doubt loses its power over you. If you've ever watched someone who seems fearless, what you're really seeing is someone who has trained themselves to move faster than their doubts. They still feel the hesitation, but they don't let it dictate the pace of their actions. They don't sit with it long enough for it to grow. They replace it with motion before it takes control. You can start building this skill today. The next time you feel that pause before doing something important, close the gap. Count down from three and move. Make the call. Send the message. Start the work. Anything that pushes you forward before the hesitation turns into an excuse. Each time you do this, you take power away from the voice of doubt and give it to the part of you that wants progress. This approach works in every area of life: fitness, career, relationships, learning new skills. In all of them, there will be moments where your mind tells you to slow down or hold off. That's the moment you speed up. You don't need to silence doubt before you move. You simply need to move so quickly that it can't slow you down. When you live this way, you start to realize something powerful. Doubt will always be there, but it doesn't have to control you. You can act with it in the background. You can keep your pace high while it struggles to keep up. And in doing so, you make steady, undeniable progress toward the life you want. One decision, one action, one step ahead of doubt at a time. Chapter 7. Force yourself to work when nobody is watching. The real test of discipline is not what you do when people are watching. It's what you do when no one is around to see it. Working when the spotlight is on is easy. Recognition and attention can drive effort in the short term, but if your results depend on outside eyes, you'll never reach your highest potential. The people who achieve mastery are the ones who show up and give everything, even when there's no audience, no applause, and no immediate reward. When you work in silence, the only person you're accountable to is yourself. That's when it becomes clear whether your commitment is real or just a performance. Anyone can look dedicated for a few hours when it's public, but it's the private hours, the quiet grind, that build the skills, habits, and mindset you need for real success. Those hours determine whether you'll have the ability to deliver when it matters. It takes a certain mental strength to push yourself without the push of others. There's no one there to remind you, no one to check your progress, no one to pat you on the back. That's exactly why it matters so much. If you can hold yourself to a high standard without external pressure, you become unstoppable. You're no longer dependent on motivation from the outside. You can create it from within. Working when nobody is watching forces you to confront your own excuses. Without the accountability of an audience, it's easy to tell yourself, "I'll do it later," or "I've done enough for now." Those moments are where your discipline is tested. Will you keep going because it's the right thing for your goals, or will you stop because you think nobody will notice? Overcoming that moment builds the kind of inner strength that lasts. The private work is often the least glamorous. It's repetition, practice, and refinement. It's going over the details until they're second nature. It's putting in extra effort to understand, improve, and prepare. There's no instant recognition, but there is the quiet satisfaction of knowing you're becoming sharper while others are waiting for the next public opportunity to perform. One of the most powerful benefits of working in private is the surprise it creates later. While others show the same level of skill they've always had, you suddenly appear stronger, faster, more capable, because you've been building behind the scenes. The preparation no one saw becomes the advantage everyone sees. And that advantage doesn't come from one or two intense days. It comes from the consistent, unseen effort you give every single time. Another reason this kind of work matters is that it removes the need for validation. If you can work without recognition, you've freed yourself from the need to constantly be told you're doing well. That independence is crucial. The world won't always cheer you on. The days will come when nobody notices your effort, and if you're dependent on that attention, your drive will collapse. But if you've trained yourself to keep moving without it, you'll stay consistent no matter what. There's also an honesty in the work you do alone. In public, there can be temptation to show off or to put on a version of effort that looks good but isn't sustainable. Alone, you can't fake it. You know if you're giving your best or if you're cutting corners. That kind of self-awareness can be uncomfortable, but it's necessary. It forces you to face the truth about your habits and make real improvements. The habit of working when nobody is watching is built in small decisions. It's choosing to stay an extra hour to refine something that's already good enough because you know it can be better. It's waking up early to get a head start, even though nobody will know you did. It's studying or practicing in the quiet hours while others are relaxing. Over time, these decisions accumulate into a level of competence and discipline that can't be faked. The danger of avoiding this kind of work is that you can become good at looking busy instead of actually improving. In front of others, you can talk about goals, make plans, and look productive. But when you're alone, if you don't put in the real effort, you'll find yourself unprepared when it's time to deliver. The moment of truth will expose whether you've been working for appearance or for results. You also have to learn how to create your own pressure when no one else is applying it. Without deadlines or watchful eyes, you must set your own expectations and hold yourself to them. This means creating clear goals, tracking your progress, and refusing to let yourself off the hook. Self-imposed pressure is one of the most powerful tools for personal growth because it forces you to be both the worker and the supervisor in your own life. It's important to understand that not all rewards are visible right away. The work you do when nobody is watching might not show its value for weeks, months, or even years. That can make it hard to stay motivated if you're only focused on immediate results. You need to shift your mindset from chasing quick rewards to building lasting strength. The private work is an investment in your future capabilities. Some of the greatest breakthroughs come when you work without an audience. There's no fear of judgment, no pressure to impress. Just you, the task, and the opportunity to get better. That freedom allows for deeper focus. You can make mistakes and correct them without worrying about how it looks. You can take the time to truly master something instead of just rushing to show progress. Working when no one is watching also builds resilience. It teaches you to keep going without applause, to find satisfaction in the process instead of the recognition. That resilience is what carries you through difficult seasons when external support is low. You learn to be your own motivator, your own coach, your own driver. It's worth remembering that in every field, the people at the top are not there because of what they did in front of others. They're there because of what they did in the hours nobody saw. Athletes who dominate in competition trained countless hours in empty gyms. Artists who command attention spent years creating work that no one noticed. Leaders who seem naturally confident built their skills through private study, planning, and practice. The public success is just the surface. The private grind is the foundation. To apply this principle in your own life, you have to create intentional time for private work. Schedule it as if it were a meeting you cannot cancel. Protect it from distractions. And during that time, focus entirely on actions that directly improve your skills, knowledge, or preparation. Don't just fill the time. Use it to do meaningful work that moves you forward. Over time, you will notice a shift. You won't need to rely on outside motivation to start. You'll begin to crave those quiet hours because you'll see how much they contribute to your growth. You'll realize that the most valuable work is often the work no one sees, and when opportunities come, you'll be ready in a way others aren't, because you've already done the work long before the moment arrived. The truth is, the world will eventually see the results of what you've been doing in private. You won't have to talk about it or prove it. Your actions and outcomes will speak for you. The discipline, skill, and confidence you've built will show without you having to announce it. That's the reward of working when nobody is watching. You carry a quiet strength that cannot be faked, and that strength will always put you ahead. Chapter 8. Do the thing you always avoid facing head on. Everyone has something they keep putting off. It might be a conversation they know they need to have, a decision they've been delaying, a project that's been sitting untouched, or a responsibility they've been avoiding for months or even years. You tell yourself, you'll get to it later, when the timing feels better, when you're in the right mood, when you have more energy. But deep down, you know that all you're really doing is avoiding it because it makes you uncomfortable. The longer you delay it, the heavier it becomes, until it starts weighing on every other part of your life. The things we avoid are often the very things that would change our lives the most if we faced them directly. Avoidance keeps us in a loop. You think avoiding it will bring relief, but it only increases the stress because it never truly leaves your mind. It shows up in quiet moments as a thought you try to push away. It steals your focus because part of your attention is always on what you haven't done. Facing it head on is the only way to take back that mental space. Avoidance can feel safe in the moment because you don't have to deal with discomfort. But that safety is an illusion. Every time you sidestep the thing you know you should be doing, you make it harder to do it later. Your fear or resistance grows stronger because you keep reinforcing it with inaction. Breaking that cycle means acting even when you feel the discomfort. You don't wait for it to disappear, you move forward while it's still there. Facing what you've been avoiding is rarely as bad as you've built it up to be in your head. Most of the pain exists in the anticipation, not the action. The conversation you've been dreading is often shorter and less dramatic than you imagined. The task you've been delaying may not be as complicated as you've told yourself. The decision you've been avoiding may be hard, but once it's made, the relief is immediate. When you confront it, you see that the struggle wasn't the task itself. It was the constant mental battle of not doing it. Part of the reason we avoid certain things is that they force us to face a truth we'd rather ignore. Taking on that task might mean acknowledging a weakness, accepting a loss, or admitting we've been wrong. But avoiding it doesn't erase that truth. It just delays the moment we deal with it. By facing it now, you take control instead of letting it control you. There's power in dealing with something before it grows bigger. A small problem ignored long enough becomes a major obstacle. A difficult decision delayed long enough becomes a crisis. When you tackle it early, you save yourself from the compounded stress and consequences that come from letting it sit too long. That's why the most successful people tend to address problems quickly. They don't give them the time to turn into something worse. To make this a habit, you have to train yourself to move toward discomfort instead of away from it. The second you recognize that you're avoiding something, that becomes your cue to act. You stop asking whether you feel like doing it and start asking what it will take to get it done now. The more often you do this, the less power avoidance has over you. Facing what you avoid also builds an unmatched level of confidence. Each time you do something you've been putting off, you prove to yourself that you can handle difficult or uncomfortable situations. That proof changes how you approach challenges in the future. Instead of thinking, "I can't do this," you start thinking, "I've handled worse before, and I can handle this too." That mindset is a major advantage in every area of life. The irony is that once you've faced the thing you've been avoiding, the fear around it often disappears completely. You realize that the story you told yourself about how difficult or unpleasant it would be wasn't reality. It was just an excuse. And now that you've seen the truth, you can no longer use that excuse again. Sometimes what you've been avoiding is something you've convinced yourself doesn't matter. You downplay its importance to make yourself feel better about not doing it. But the longer you leave it, the more you notice its absence in your results. It might be a skill you've avoided learning, a habit you've avoided forming, or a responsibility you've avoided taking on. These things don't go away because you ignore them. In fact, they quietly shape your future because every day you don't address them, you're limiting your potential. Working through avoidance requires honesty. You have to admit to yourself that you're not avoiding it because it's impossible. You're avoiding it because it's uncomfortable. That distinction matters. When you label it correctly, you can challenge it. You can tell yourself, "I can do things that are uncomfortable, and I've done it before." That alone can be enough to push you to take the first step. The first step is always the hardest. Once you're in motion, it's easier to keep going. That's why it's crucial to reduce the gap between deciding to face something and actually starting it. If you give yourself too much time to think about it, the hesitation will grow. Move fast before your mind has a chance to talk you out of it. Even committing to a small part of it can break the mental barrier and give you momentum. There's also a long-term benefit to tackling what you avoid. You stop living in a constant state of low-level stress. That background tension of knowing something is undone wears you down more than you realize. The moment you deal with it, that tension is gone, and you can direct your full energy toward what's next. That kind of clarity can improve your focus, your productivity, and even your mood. Facing what you've been avoiding also earns you respect from others and from yourself. People notice when you take on the hard things instead of running from them. More importantly, you notice. You see yourself living up to the standard you set, and that builds self-respect in a way nothing else can. You stop feeling like you're letting yourself down, and you start feeling like you're living in alignment with your own values. Not every avoided task is massive. Some are small, but still matter. Calling back the person you've been ignoring, fixing the minor problem you've been putting off, clearing out the mess you've been pretending not to see. These might seem small, but they add up, and the habit of facing them head-on creates a mindset that applies to the bigger challenges too. The truth is, your life gets lighter when you stop running from things. Avoidance is heavy. It takes mental energy to keep pushing something out of your thoughts every time it comes up. That energy could be used to create, build, and grow, but instead, it's wasted on avoiding. The moment you deal with it, you get that energy back. If you want to live without the weight of avoidance, make it your rule that the thing you resist most is the thing you do first. No matter how uncomfortable it is, put it at the top of your list. Over time, you'll notice that the things you used to avoid become easier, and eventually, they won't feel like obstacles at all. By consistently doing what you've been avoiding, you train yourself to handle discomfort with confidence. You stop fearing the hard parts of life because you know you can walk straight into them and come out stronger. And that's a skill that will serve you in everything you do. Because no matter how much you grow, there will always be something challenging ahead. If you face it without delay, it will never have the power to hold you back.
Chapter 9. Win small battles daily to build unstoppable momentum. Momentum isn't something that appears out of nowhere. It's built from the small victories you collect each day. Most people wait for big wins before they allow themselves to feel progress. But the truth is, big wins are rare and take time. If you only measure your success by those moments, you'll spend most of your days feeling like nothing is happening. The smartest way to build unstoppable momentum is to focus on winning the small battles every single day. A small battle is any challenge, task, or decision that moves you forward, even in a minor way. It could be finishing something you've been avoiding, sticking to a habit you promised yourself, or choosing the better option when it would be easier to choose the worse one. These may not seem like major events, but each one is a deposit into your bank of progress. The more deposits you make, the stronger your momentum becomes. The key is to treat these small wins with the same seriousness you would give to a big goal. Too many people dismiss the little victories, thinking they don't matter much. But the truth is, every habit you have, good or bad, is built from the repetition of small choices. When you decide to start your day with an intentional win, you set the tone for everything else that follows. You train your mind to expect progress instead of waiting for it. The reason small battles are so important is because they are completely within your control. You might not be able to control when a major opportunity shows up, but you can control whether you do the workout you planned, whether you eat in a way that fuels you, whether you keep your word on a task, or whether you finish the work before resting. These are decisions you can win today, and every time you win them, you reinforce the identity of someone who follows through. Winning daily battles also prevents you from getting stuck in the trap of waiting for motivation. Momentum is a better driver than motivation because momentum builds itself. Motivation can disappear at any time, but momentum pulls you forward even when your energy is low. If you win enough small battles in a row, you'll find that action becomes automatic. You start moving without needing to hype yourself up. One powerful way to apply this is to set a few clear daily targets that you can control. These are not vague intentions like be productive, but specific actions like write 500 words, read for 20 minutes, or make 3 important calls. Once you complete them, you've already secured wins for the day, and those wins give you the mental boost to tackle more. Without this, your days can drift, and drifting kills momentum. It's also worth remembering that momentum is not built in the moments when everything is easy. It's built when you keep collecting wins on the days you'd rather do nothing. That's where most people lose it. They string together a few good days and then stop when it gets hard. The people who keep going anyway are the ones who create that unstoppable forward motion. Another reason small battles matter is because they create evidence. Your brain needs proof that you're capable, and every small win you secure is a piece of that proof. Over time, the evidence becomes so strong that doubt has less room to operate. You stop wondering if you can do something because you've built a long history of doing what you said you would do. Small wins also have a compounding effect. One good choice makes the next good choice easier. If you start your morning with a win, you're more likely to follow it with another. If you end your day with a win, you carry that energy into the next morning. This is how momentum works. It feeds on itself. The more you give it, the stronger it becomes, until it's harder to stop than to keep going. Some people underestimate momentum because it doesn't feel dramatic at first. They want a surge of excitement or a massive breakthrough to confirm they're on the right path. But real momentum often starts quietly. It's in the days you simply do what you said you would, again and again. It's in the decision to show up without making a big deal about it. Those quiet days are not wasted, they are the foundation. There's also a psychological shift that happens when you consistently win small battles. You begin to see yourself differently. Instead of thinking of yourself as someone who struggles to stay consistent, you start seeing yourself as someone who gets things done. That identity shift is powerful because it shapes your choices without you even realizing it. You'll naturally lean toward action because it matches the kind of person you believe you are. To make this work, you have to avoid the temptation of perfection. You don't need to win every single battle perfectly to build momentum. You just need to win more often than you lose. A bad moment or a missed task doesn't erase all your progress. What matters is that you quickly get back to winning. The faster you recover from a loss, the less impact it has on your overall momentum. You should also celebrate these small wins in a meaningful way. Not in a way that distracts you or makes you complacent, but in a way that acknowledges your progress. A simple acknowledgement that you followed through, that you honored your plan, reinforces the behavior. You don't have to wait until you've achieved the big goal to feel a sense of accomplishment. You can feel it every day if you choose to notice your victories. There's a level of personal pride that comes from stacking small wins that outsiders may never understand. People might not see the effort you put in every day, but you will. You'll know that behind every visible success, there's a long string of invisible victories that built the strength to make it happen. That inner pride is one of the most reliable fuels for long-term success. Winning small battles daily also prepares you for the bigger challenges. When the high-pressure moments come, you'll already have the habits and discipline to handle them. You won't need to scramble to prepare because you've been preparing all along through your daily action. Big moments don't intimidate people who have been consistently sharpening their skills. The opposite is also true. Losing too many small battles makes it harder to win the big ones. If you make a habit of skipping the little things, you train yourself to accept low standards. That habit doesn't disappear when something important comes up. It follows you into that moment. This is why daily discipline matters so much. It keeps your standards high at all times. To build unstoppable momentum, you have to see each day as a fresh opportunity to create movement. Yesterday's wins don't carry over unless you add to them today. Momentum has to be fed daily. You can't store it for later. You have to keep earning it. The good news is that once you get it going, it becomes easier to maintain than to start over. That's why consistency matters more than intensity. Your life will not be transformed by one massive push of effort. It will be transformed by thousands of small pushes that build on each other. Every workout completed, every hour of focused work, every uncomfortable but necessary task done on time, all add up. They seem small in the moment, but over time, they shape everything. If you want to live with unstoppable momentum, stop waiting for the big break and start winning the next small battle in front of you. Do it today. Then do it again tomorrow. Each one might feel minor on its own, but together they will create a force that moves you towards your goals faster than you thought possible. And once you feel that force, you'll understand why the most successful people never stop stacking small wins. They know that's where all real progress begins. Chapter 10. Leave no room for regret when the day ends. When the day ends, there are only two ways you can feel proud of what you gave or disappointed by what you left undone. Regret doesn't usually come from what you did. It comes from knowing you could have done more and chose not to. It's the weight of wasted time, avoided work, and moments you let slip away. If you want to live at your best, you have to make it a rule that you end each day with nothing left to take back. No missed effort, no ignored responsibility, no wasted opportunity. Leaving no room for regret means you make every day count. That doesn't mean you have to accomplish something dramatic or life-changing in 24 hours. It means you give the time you have the respect it deserves. You do the things that matter instead of postponing them for a vague tomorrow. You push yourself to finish tasks instead of leaving them half done. You follow through on the promises you made to yourself and to others. The reason this matters so much is because days stack into weeks, weeks into months, and months into years. A single wasted day might not seem like much, but enough of them will shape a life you don't want. On the other hand, if you build a habit of finishing strong every day, those days accumulate into a life you can be proud of. What you do before the day ends is more than a daily choice. It's part of the bigger picture of who you are becoming. Ending the day without regret starts in the morning. You have to be clear about what matters most for that day. If you leave it to chance, distractions will decide for you. Write down the things you know will matter when the day is over. Ask yourself, if I go to bed tonight, what will I wish I had done? Then make those things your priority. This way you don't get caught up in small, meaningless tasks and miss the ones that actually make a difference. Once you know what matters, you have to treat those actions like they're non-negotiable. You don't wait to feel like it. You don't hope to get to them after you've handled everything else. You put them first, because nothing feels worse than lying in bed at night thinking, I could have done it today, but I didn't. You can avoid that feeling entirely by doing the work before the excuses have a chance to show up. Another important part of leaving no room for regret is pushing past the point of comfort. It's easy to stop when something feels tiring or tedious, but most of the time, stopping there is what creates regret. You know deep down that you had more in you, but you didn't give it. That's what sticks with you later. If you give everything you have, even if the result isn't perfect, you can end the day with the peace of knowing you didn't hold back. Regret doesn't just come from what you didn't do. It also comes from what you did poorly because you rushed or didn't care enough. If you want to remove that kind of regret, you have to raise your standard for the quality of your effort. When you commit to something, commit fully. Do it with the attention and effort it deserves. That way, even if the outcome isn't exactly what you hoped for, you'll know it wasn't because you failed to give your best. You also have to address the smaller decisions throughout the day that seem harmless but add up to missed potential. Choosing to scroll on your phone instead of working on something important, skipping the workout you planned, or putting off a conversation you need to have. These moments may feel small, but they add to a list of things I didn't do today. That list is the foundation of regret. Every time you choose action over avoidance in those moments, you protect yourself from that weight. Some people think avoiding regret means never making mistakes. That's not true. Mistakes happen. The difference is that when you give your full effort, you can accept mistakes as part of the process without feeling the sting of regret. Regret is not about the fact that something went wrong. It's about knowing you didn't give yourself the best chance to succeed. If you work hard, make the call, take the risk, and still fall short, you can live with that. What you can't live with easily is knowing you could have done more but chose not. At the end of the day, you should be able to look back and point to at least a few things you're glad you did, things that moved you forward, strengthened your discipline, or improved your life in some way. This reflection doesn't have to take long, but it's important. It keeps you aware of your progress and keeps you honest about whether you're living by your own standard. If you end the day and see that you wasted too much of it, you know what to adjust tomorrow. One of the most effective ways to make sure you end without regret is to finish the hard thing first. That one choice can completely change the tone of your day. When you handle the thing you've been resisting, you remove the weight of avoidance from your mind, and you carry a sense of accomplishment that makes everything else easier. You also prevent the possibility of going to bed thinking, "I should have just done." You should also close the day with intention, not just let it fade into sleep. Before you stop working, ask yourself if there's anything left that would bother you if you left it unfinished. If the answer is yes, finish it. Even if it takes an extra 20 or 30 minutes, that time is worth the peace of mind it buys. You'll sleep better knowing there's nothing hanging over your head, waiting to greet you in the morning. It's also worth remembering that leaving no room for regret doesn't mean living without rest. Rest is part of a day well spent. The difference is that you've earned it. When you've put in the effort, rest feels satisfying instead of guilty. You can sit back, relax, and know you've done what you set out to do. That's the kind of rest that recharges you, not the kind that makes you feel behind. This principle applies to all areas of life, not just work. It applies to relationships. Did you have the conversation you've been meaning to have? Did you check in on someone you care about? It applies to health. Did you take care of your body today? It applies to personal growth. Did you do something that made you better? Regret can show up in any of these areas, and so can pride in knowing you've done what you could. Over time, this daily standard shapes who you are. You become someone who doesn't put things off, someone who can be relied on, someone who takes their time seriously. That reputation starts with yourself. If you can trust yourself to finish each day strong, you build a foundation of self-respect that nothing else can give you. When you live this way, you don't have to look back on weeks, months, or years with the pain of wondering what might have been. You'll know what you did, you'll know you gave what you had, you'll know that regardless of the results, you lived each day without leaving anything important undone. That's a life with fewer "I wish I had" moments and more "I'm glad I did" moments, and that's a life worth building.